Wendell Quisenberry is our school district administrator here in Tomahawken, and he's with us in studio this morning. Morning, Wendell.
Good morning, Jeff.
All right. First of all, like when I was introducing, let's pull that thing. Yeah, brand new. That's got to get just a little bit closer.
There we go.
Yeah, right. Just a little bit different. Just to address the situation when I was introducing you, I had the kids from the esports team in here, and they were preparing to go to state. And one of the young men thought that they're not looked at the same way as other sports, and he wishes they were. And you just broke it down to me as to why that is. And it's not that they're looked down upon or anything like that. It's just it's different. You know, there's wheat bread and there's white bread. They're both bread, but they're different.
Well,
so there's the traditional sports, and then there's the e-sports. They may be quote-unquote sports, but they're different. So let's break that down first.
Well, they're both great opportunities for kids and to excel in things that they're good at. The main difference between them is one's a WIA-sanctioned sport and the other one's a school club.
Right.
You know, so I don't think that anything's looked down upon or frowned upon. I think, you know, there's been actually pretty significant investment made. A lot of it came from a grant, but our previous library LMC director was really responsible for pulling together the funds and the grants to get the computers and all of the equipment that we needed to have an esports club. And she recognized that there were a lot of students that would really excel at this, that wanted it, that wanted to be a part of it. You know, and she's no longer with the district, but we have you know, a new coach and somebody that's taking that on. So and we're seeing success. We're seeing kids that are learning how to compete. They're learning how to work together. They're learning collaborative skills. These games are not just an average video game. They're games that are very collaborative or where you have, they're very strategy based.
Right.
So there's a lot of really, really good things that come out of esports. Is it, you know, does it garnish the same attention as you know, some of the contests that are being broadcast on the radio here or that are, you know, filling a gym and that sort of thing? No, it's a little different in that atmosphere and in that realm. But it certainly has a place in our school, and it's certainly something that we're going to maintain and make sure that these kids have this opportunity moving forward.
And let's face it, it's in its infancy right now, and it's all very, very new, not only to schools, but to administrators and to the club heads. I know there's teachers that head up, their coaches, so to speak, that are take care of these clubs that are at school. So the first thing is that, yes, while it's competition, while it's got a lot of the same kind of aspects, it's still just a little bit different. But in 30 years from now, esports may overtake all the other stuff that's causing injuries and concerns to parents and stuff, so you never know, but it's in its infancy.
Yeah, right.
But as far as you're concerned, the school's behind these guys. Did you know, how did you get any results from that state competition that they went to?
I don't have any to report.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, I think our you know, our activities director would you know, I can follow up with him and see what happened there. I will say, though, it's not just esports. That's one club. Right. We have a lot of clubs that offer different things for students to participate in, to be a part of, and to really find maybe that one thing that they're super excited about that connects them with school and community and that sort of piece. So esports is one of those pieces. All of our athletics fit into that category as well. Those are, you know, one and the same in that regard. That's why we have those things. They're additional extracurricular. They're learning opportunities for kids that take place outside of the classroom that create that rich experience for, you know, for all of our school kids that they need.
For my part, I'm just glad that kids are finding their niche at school, because a lot of kids never do, and it's usually a good thing when they find that niche.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, let's get to the agenda here this morning. It seems to me, Wendell, that there is a trend in place in our Tomahawk School District. You often, if not always, most of the time, you hire from within. And that just happened.
We can, if the opportunity is there, we like to. I think growth within an organization is important to its overall health.
Right.
You know, and this is something that I've had conversations with our board and our board president in particular about. And we feel that, you know, if we've got qualified individuals that are interested in growing in the profession and growing within our organization, we owe them that opportunity. So anytime that we go to hire within, you know, the interview team knows if this is somebody that we feel fits the need and it's going to move us forward, and that we're excited about, we're going to put them in that position. If not, we'll open it up outside. And, you know, we've had a lot of success doing that within.
And we're talking about Sherry Woodall, who is now moving on up, replacing Guy Steckbauer as the elementary school principal, and that starts next school year.
Yeah. So Mr. Steckbauer announced his retirement. and he will be done effective June 30th, and she'll be taking over July 1. I'm sure she'll be in there in that summer school role, sure, eager to get going and meet the kids and get involved. But, you know, Sherry's been with our district for a long time, and she's somebody that has always shown leadership interest and potential and jumped into leadership positions whenever she could. So when she, you know, got her licensure and was able to move into the administrative role, she jumped, took the first chance she got, and she's done a phenomenal job as high school AP. Now with this opportunity being there for her to, you know, have full control of her own building and call the shots there, conversations that I've had with her, she's absolutely ready for that. She's excited about doing it. She wants to take on that challenge. I'm really excited for her. And she did a marvelous job in her interview, just coming in and not just answering the questions, but presenting her vision for what she sees as the elementary school moving forward.
Has somebody replaced Sherry in the position that she's in now?
Not yet.
Okay, so
we still will be. Yep. So we will. I don't even think we have the posting out yet.
Okay.
But we will get that posted, and then we will be filling that position as well.
Outstanding. So congratulations to Sherry, and boy, a lot of good luck and a lot of years of good retirement for Mr. Steckbauer too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Taylor Remington, yeah, the new community education program coordinator. So start from scratch. I guess I didn't know there was such a thing as a community education program coordinator at our school here in Tomahawk. I know the colleges, I've heard of those. I haven't heard of the one here in Tomahawk. So tell us a little bit about it.
So we have talked about this.
We have?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I was worried about that.
No. Okay. But this is a new position to our school. And it's one of the things that we heard from our community, both during our referendum cycle last time and also through the survey that we put out where we survey our community and our families, is and it's something that we've talked about quite a bit too, is access to the facility. Not just access, but opportunities to use our facilities. We have the footprint of that building and everything that's there facility wise, it sits vacant way too much, and we've talked about that,
sure,
before. You always say it's your facility, use it, right?
Yeah.
And here's the idea from this. It's not unique to schools, but Rhinelander has had this position for quite some time. Well before they had a dome and these other things, they had a guy that they brought in named Mike Cheslock, who I've talked to extensively as we've planned for this. But if you ever look at what they do to offer their facilities to the community, and ultimately what it looks like, many times it might be a business owner or somebody who owns a gym or somebody who's just very committed to fitness or into art or whatever it is, and they say, hey, I want to run a class. I would like to run a class. To come in, to book the facility, to get everything you need, and to be set up and actually do that, and sometimes it's a for-profit thing where they're renting our facility to do it, becomes a pretty daunting task.
Okay.
To make that process more user-friendly, and like we always say, we want people to feel encouraged to use it. So we have now a person who's dedicated to facilitating all of that. Not just facilitating the requests that come in, but to polling our community and saying, what are the needs? What are the people in our community want to be doing and using our facility for, and then creating those opportunities and making sure that they can happen as smoothly and as seamlessly as possible.
The one in our area that's been around, I think, the longest is the one at Nicolet College.
Yeah.
And they do a good job about getting the word out about what's available. And one thing I've learned over the years, the mushroom hunting class at,
sure,
it sells out like immediately.
Yeah.
If you're not there signing up that day, it sells out immediately. So there's a need there, and probably a lot of other subjects too.
Well, and you know, we have multiple school forests that for most part sit idle. This position is also going to create opportunities, not for just for our students to utilize and our teachers to utilize school forests, but for our community to utilize those as well. So there's a lot of things that can be happening at our school, and there's a lot of and we call it, you know, community learning, not just adult learning, because some of these might be geared towards kids or teens or, you know, early younger adults, that sort of thing. But there's a lot of potential here for different learning opportunities, recreational activities, and different things that can be happening at the school.
I think mixing the ages and the generations in this kind of thing is also part of the win part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing.
Well, so we talk a lot about the school being a hub. The school has to be a hub for more than just families that send kids there. It needs to be a hub for our community. We have resources there that don't necessarily exist other places, and we want our community to feel welcome to use them.
So how will Taylor decide what's going to be given as an educational opportunity for everybody and what's not? And how is she going to get that stuff? Does she have a list? Or is she looking for people to call and say, what about this?
Yeah, so that's actually a great question. One of the things that being a new program, and we have some guidance just on what other schools and other areas are doing as far as pulling together how this can look and resources that she can talk to maybe tweak things. But one of the things that she really sold us on in the interview process, because we were committed, first of all, in saying, we're going to hire this position, but it has to be a person that we feel completely confident is going to be able to build a program where one does not already exist. And Taylor came in, and again, I talked about Sherry selling a vision. Taylor came in and sold a vision on what this can look like to that committee that hired her. And we tried to pick people from different areas to have different stakeholder groups and people represented there. And she came in and wowed us in what she sees as the potential for this and how she plans to find out what our community specifically would like to use. So she's got a pretty good start. How does that look? It takes many different roles. One, it'll be included in some survey information. Two, it's just going to be a person who's ingrained and connected in our community that talks to people and gathers those ideas. It will be making cold calls in some cases to our area businesses, maybe our local banks that see a need for pulling some people in at some point because they're running into issues with maybe online banking in certain parts of our community.
Okay.
Or things that are changing, and they
right.
see a need where they could schedule a class and do that. So I mean, there's a multitude of different things that and strategies that she'll use, and this is something that we know is going to grow over time. So we don't have that neat package checklist yet, but each year we're going to grow these opportunities and promote them and make sure people are aware of all the great things that we can be that she'll be able to offer up there.
Strength and conditioning is an important part of physical education and sports, of course, and you've approved a strength and conditioning physical education course now that'll be offered in a summertime session. Let us know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so this is something that's been requested for a while. A lot of our head coaches have wanted something to be ingrained in the curriculum, and we've been trying to balance how to fit that into our FIED curriculum throughout the school year. The challenges sometimes are, we want kids to be using the weight room. To do that effectively, you need to be doing it year-round, right?
Right.
So to have a class that's just a semester-long class, it really, isn't going to get us to where we want to be with having our athletes and other folks in that weight room and promoting fitness the way we want to. So this is a starting point. We looked at, one, developing the curriculum, when it's going to take place, how it's going to take place, and then how can we gauge interest in our student body and maybe incorporate that down the road into the whole school year.
Okay.
For right now, it's a starting point for us. We have an approved strength and conditioning course. So the curriculum was presented at the board meeting on Tuesday, and the board approved it. The first class will take place this summer. I think it's 8 weeks in length, and it will be students can earn a half a credit towards FIED.
Okay. Next topic is Wall of Honor.
Yeah.
You brought that up last time that you were in here. How is that progressing?
Really, really well. So we recently had a meeting with our committee, and the Wall of Honor. So at that meeting, we had our area veterans groups represented, and they decided on what they wanted the emblems to look like and what they wanted the sign to look like. And we have a location for this. So right now we're moving away from that, getting quotes. Once we have some pricing figured out, then we'll start to work together collaboratively on some fundraising opportunities. And I think there's money out there. Their organizations have money to donate. I have had organizations within our community reach out and say, we're happy to donate to this. So I don't know how much we're going to have to fundraise.
Okay.
But sometimes those fundraisers, too, are a great way to get word out.
Sure.
If you go to our website right now, currently we have, I think, 81 people who have been nominated to be included on that wall. And the only requirement is that you, at some point, were a high school student. You don't have to have a Tomahawk High School student. You don't have to have graduated from Tomahawk. But if you're a veteran or an active service member and you were a student at some point at Tomahawk High School, then you can you're qualified to be included on that wall. One of the when you go to our website, we try to make this nomination process as easy as possible, but you will see a banner pop up, and there's a link there where you can use an online form to nominate somebody. If you're not tech savvy and that's not where you'd prefer to do it, we also have paper forms. Stop by or call the district office at 715-453-5555, and you can nominate that way as well.
Tax information, and you just mentioned the website, tax information on the district website. There's also a new app for people, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So a couple tell things. Us about that.
Well, the tax information, so it is tax season. Tax bills are coming out. We, again, revisit where we were financially this year for the first time in many years, if possibly ever. We were able to levy an amount underneath the maximum that we were approved to levy for. So we under-levied this year. We did not take the full amount, the full taxing authority that we could have to our taxpayers this year, which I think shows a lot of things on how we're trying to be very frugal with our budget, right, understanding where we are, and make the best decisions that we need to move our district forward, but do them as as fiscally responsibly as we can. With that being said, what we're seeing on the tax bills this year, we know a lot of townships have reassessed. Things are changing because property values have increased at such a rapid pace. We are seeing the school tax portion on tax bills, on average, somewhere between 4 to 7% lower than what they were last year.
Boy, what do you attribute all that to?
Just how we levied.
Okay.
And so we had a referendum, but we also, and this is the thing, when we go back to that funding model from the state threw a lot of dollars at schools this year, but they didn't do it from their coffers. They gave schools more of a ability to tax they raised our authority to tax our communities. And then, so that's, we didn't have to do that because we had the referendum that was out there. So by taxing underneath that full amount and where we were, it actually, caused a slight lowering in what our total amount went to our taxpayers.
Is that a difficult conversation to know that the money is there, but to not use it if you don't absolutely need it? That tells me that not only frugal, but there's some good decision making going on between the administration and the school board.
Yeah, across the board. And we're trying to set ourselves up for 10 years from now, not just what our needs are right now. So it is. And we, each year, at our annual meeting, we set our budget and we move forward. So knowing as we start to look at the what our budget's going to be 3 years from now, 4 years from now, we don't know what insurance costs are going to be for our employees.
Right.
We don't know what energy costs continue to go up. So we always have to hedge on the high side of things just in case we don't run out of money. But yeah, we're in a good place financially. And does it mean we don't need a referendum anymore? No, but it means that we will be able to get by with the same or maybe a slightly, slower, if anything, but right around the same amount, instead of most schools every 3 years having asked for an extra $500,000 or an extra million. We'll be pretty flat that way for the foreseeable future.
There's a lot of good news coming out of our schools here in Tomahawk, and people that are really paying attention to the news these days, Wendell, there's a lot of bad news between school boards and the administrations and the families in the school district, and there's a lot in that in the news these days. I am so happy to know that our Tomahawk school, it seems to be a very, very good relationship all the way around.
It is. It is. And we have a very supportive board. We have a board that is very dedicated, to our students, to our community, and to our schools. They are not a board that rubber stamps things for me. And they are a board that holds me accountable. They're a board that asks me tough questions and makes sure that the decisions that not just I'm making, but our admin team as a whole, are decisions that are going to lead us on the right path. They are very growth mindset oriented individuals, and they're dedicated to our school. So I can't say enough good things about our school board and how supportive they are, but our admin team as well. Our admin team knows and understands the needs of our district, the needs at each building, the needs at each department, but they also understand that we have to be very frugal in how we approach making those decisions. And so we've got a really good combination right now and some great decision makers within our organization.
Good, because sometimes when there's no news, that's good news.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That's true. One thing I do want to mention before we get off the tax thing, if you have questions about your tax bill, feel free to always reach out to me. But on the district website, under the tab on that district tab, you will see an item that says how to read your tax statement. So I took a local Lincoln County tax statement, broke it down, and there's narrative underneath that shows what each part is. So if you have questions on it, that's a great resource. Or if you want to reach out, I can walk through that with anybody too if they have questions about their taxes.
And if you don't have the tech at home, I know our library here has that tech. And if you just ask one of the nice people at the library, they'd be probably more than happy to set you up on the computer there too.
Absolutely.
Christmas season here. Christy Anderson, Nikki Schultz deserve a lot of congratulations on the programs for Christmas time this year.
Absolutely. They did a wonderful job. We were packed. That auditorium was absolutely packed. So a lot of people, a lot of grandparents, a lot of family members, and some great Christmas programs. So kudos to them. The artwork, Nikki Schultz does a phenomenal job with that. And this is her first year in the district, so she's really knocked it out of the park with the way things looked and the stuff that the kids worked on being put on display. But also, you know, Christy Anderson, she works so hard to make sure that that it's not just a performance that people come and see, that they understand there's a lot of learning that takes place leading up to this. The song selection, how they get through it, the instruments that they're playing and learning how to play. This is all in line with the curriculum that she has for an appreciation for music, but also to meet the standards of what the state says our music program should be. So a lot of behind the scenes music, and it comes together in just a 20-minute thing that people see. But it's a month or two of learning that goes into that. She does a phenomenal job.
And with all the packed houses that we have at our Tomahawk schools, with all these events, maybe needing to expand these areas.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that'll give you something to think about.
Both fell out of my chair there. But, we would always like to have the funds available to make some of those.
It's good to see a packed house, though, especially when the kids are concerned. The band concerts, people that can't get to the school, we've got them here on the radio, too.
Yes, and thank you for doing that every year. It's so nice and a nice thing that happens on Christmas Day. But, again, Christmas concerts, this Mr. Marin's last year, he's announced his retirement, so this was his last Christmas program for the middle school and high school band, but he did such a great job and ended on a phenomenal, I think, selection and performance. I think the way that it ended just was really great. The high school concert band knocked it out of the park at the end there, and so if you haven't heard that, listen on Christmas Day, because you will definitely be impressed. And we have the middle school and high school choir concerts coming up this Monday.
And again, if you can't hear it in person, we'll have it for you on the radio here. Boy, if we don't get out of here voluntarily, they're going to sick Alex on us because he's going to want to take over here. So, Wendell, thanks for being here. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And I just want to say it's been a pleasure talking to you this year since you've taken over. And I can tell, I know what's in your heart. I think I know exactly what's in your heart. And our school district is going in such a fantastic direction. So thank you for everything that you've done since you've taken over. It's been a great year, and we'll look forward to another good one next year.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the opportunity, and Merry Christmas.